And so each week as I pray, and so this week the message that I'm going to speak on is a door shut and locked against Jesus. And you say, well, you're preaching to the church, you're preaching to the choir, you're preaching to the crowd that already knows Jesus. Well, I just figure God knows what ought to be preached, and so that's what I'm going to preach on. And so I hope you open your hearts to the message, because I've learned sometimes you can preach on tithing, and in the midst of that, God will have something to say to our hearts. And so no matter what the subject is, God has a way through the power of the Holy Spirit just to speak to us on an individual basis. So the door shut, you could say locked, you could say barred against the Lord Jesus. What a terrible thought to think somebody would shut their heart, lock the door toward Jesus Christ. So our text this morning will come from Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. You find it in your Bible, stand with me this morning as we read and honor the reading of God's Word. His Word is inspired. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it will not fail you. It's inexhaustible. You can study it and study it and study it. I've been studying it way over 40 years, and I still learn things all the time. It's authoritative. And so when God speaks, His Word has authority in our lives. The only reason I can preach today is because of the authority of God's Word. God gives us that authority. The only reason we baptize people is the authority of the Word of God. So our authority to do what we do in the Church of Jesus Christ, all of us, comes from the Word of God. And so beginning in verse 14, and to the angel of the Church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. The Lord's saying He loves them. He says, as many as He loves, I rebuke and chasten. The Lord loves this church. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, I pray you'd bless your word this morning. Lord, it's a mighty word. It's a powerful word. The Word of God is a living book. It's for every generation. The principles that you have in your word, Lord, affects our generation today in 2019. So, Lord, I pray today just that I might just be like an amplifier, that I might just speak your words. It's your word. It's the Holy Scriptures, that, Lord, we might have open hearts to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. This letter, really, this whole past year, Jesus wrote letters. He sent letters through, I'd say, the pastors to those churches to be read in the churches, read in those areas. And it reveals to us one thing, that Jesus knows what's going on in His church. Sometimes, you know, churches do things that's not biblical. Sometimes they kind of depart from the faith. They drift away as all this political correctness comes about. But Jesus knows what's happening. He sees what's happening. He knows this is His church. The church of Jesus Christ belongs to the Lord. He's the head of it. He can make the rules. He can say what we ought to do and how we ought to live. And because He's the one that created us. He's the creator, not only of the earth and everything in it, but the church of Jesus Christ. He's the head of it. Would not be a church without Jesus Christ. And so He knows who's faithful in every church. He knows who's unfaithful. He knows who's got lukewarm. He knows who needs to repent. He knows who needs revival. We talked about in Sunday school this morning that revival comes often when there's an acute awareness of sin. Sometimes we get so used to living with sin and around sin, we forget the impact it has on our lives. So an acute awareness of sin. And verse 20 seems to say that some churches or individuals, he's writing to the church, but then he addresses individuals, have locked Jesus out. This is the church. I mean, how in the world could that happen? This is the church. And he says, I'm standing outside of the church, knocking on the door of the church to come in. or knocking on the door of a heart to come in. So he says, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any individual that locks Jesus out, they're really in big trouble. So he speaks about the door really being like our heart. And it's shut and it's locked against the Lord Jesus Christ. So why does that happen? Number one, because of ignorance. Ignorance is a pretty hard word there. It's acting like the way you're dumb and you're stupid. He's really not saying that. It's not. It's the fact that they because they're unknown and don't understand what's going on. If people that came to a place like that and they've locked the door of their heart and they won't let Jesus in, it's because they don't understand. They don't see what's happening. They don't understand the future. The Bible speaks about many stories and accounts of people's lives. One of the stories, Peter was in prison. And while he was in prison for preaching the gospel, and they threatened him and put him in prison. And there was a group that he knew was in a house, and they were praying for his release. And many of you know the story. All of a sudden, an angel comes in, he opens the gates, he takes the chains off, he lets Peter go. And Peter walks out of prison, he goes to this house, he knocks on the door, and this young girl named Rhoda comes to the door, and she opens a little peephole and looks out. She sees Peter, and boy, she's so happy, she shuts the door. She goes back in and she's just excited beside herself. She tells everybody, Peter's at the door. They've been praying for his release. They don't believe her. How often do we pray and we're surprised when God answers a prayer? Think about it. I mean, you know, we ought to pray expecting God to answer prayer, but we'll come to church and say, Lord, have mercy. God, we prayed and God healed that person. Like it's a surprise. Well, she was surprised. They were praying. They were devout. They were faithful. And they were praying, and they got surprised when Peter got out of prison and showed up, knocked on the door of the house. They couldn't believe it. So they finally let him in. Jesus tells the story of the woman at the well. Now, in those days, Jesus, they were working. They were going. They were preaching, and the disciples were with him, and Jesus was tired. He was physically tired. So he stops at a well. He sends the disciples in to get some food and supplies, and while he's sitting there, this woman comes up. And begins to talk to her. Well, first of all, men and women didn't talk publicly to each other like that, but he did. He talked to her. And as they began to carry on the gifts, he asked her for some water. She didn't really want to give him any. And Jesus said to her, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water. Well, she said, I'd like to have some of that living water because she didn't want to have to go draw water every day. She missed it to start with. She missed what he was saying. But he was saying, if you just knew who said this to you, you would become giving him. You'd want to give him water. You'd give him your life. You want to give him everything about you. Oftentimes, people have the door of their heart locked toward Jesus because they don't understand who he is. This is the one who created the world. This is the one who spoke the world into existence. He created every animal, every tree, every shrub, everything in the world. And he created mankind. And he comes to us. He came to the Jewish people with his doctrines. People kind of get, well, we don't like doctrines. Doctrines divide. Look, doctrines is just simply the teaching of the Bible. Doctrines is the Word of God. So he came with his teaching. He came with his miracles. He showed them how he had power to heal people, to raise the dead, to give the blind sight, the lame got over there being lame and could walk. And he was showing them he was the Christ. Yet they didn't receive him. Many of them didn't believe him. John the Baptist, he was real famous. He got real famous in his day because he was preaching the Word of God and preaching repentance and baptizing people. And he bore witness to Jesus Christ. They were impressed with John. And John said, but I'm not the one. The one that's coming, I'm not even worthy to unloose the latch of his shoe. I'm not the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. So he focused on Jesus Christ. But a lot of them didn't believe John. John bore witness to him. The miracles that Jesus did bore witness to who he was. Who can heal the blind? Who can raise the dead? Jesus has power over death. He has power over life. He has power over our bodies. He has power. Why? He created everything. And so the miracles bore witness to Jesus Christ, to who he was. The voice in heaven bore witness to who Jesus was. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The glory, the bright light bore witness to Jesus Christ, who he was. You that are saved, you remember how you first resisted coming to Christ. It took me 27 years before I really came to Christ and surrendered my life. Well, I knew who he was. I even walked down the aisle a couple of times. But at 27, I knew for sure that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. He's the one that spoke this world into existence. If I was going to heaven, it had to be through Jesus Christ and no other way. It would not be good works. It would not be what I did. It's what Jesus did for me. And I realized that. I opened my heart to Jesus and received him. I opened the door and invited him in. But I went a long, long time before I did. I knew he was, but I didn't open the door. I didn't receive him. But thank God I did on that day, and I never regret one second for opening my heart to Jesus Christ. In the dark ages of history, men and women were without knowledge. They went through a time that, like, knowledge was evil. And Satan is described as the kingdom of darkness, and he kind of waved his sepulcher over the masses and kept people in darkness. Then came the age of enlightenment. People began to read books. They began to see truth, and the Bible became strong, and the truth was proclaimed, and people began to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at that point, people were translated, those who believed in Jesus, were translated from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We knew the truth. We knew about salvation. We knew about eternity. We knew about Jesus Christ. We opened our heart to him. Now, you may still be in darkness this morning and have not trusted Jesus. You say, well, I'm a church member. I've been over the years, I preached the Word of God, and the Word of God convicted people, and I've had people come down the aisle that had been Sunday school teachers and deacons' wives and trusted Christ. They joined a church. And I know that because I joined a church as a teenager. I wasn't saved. I knew about Jesus, but I got on the roll. And then in the community, they started a new church. My parents were part of it. And so they started with this new church, and they had charter members. And they just transferred my membership over to this new church. I was a charter member. You can go to that church today, and on the wall of that church, my name is listed as a charter member of that church, but I was lost. I knew of a guy that he was a seminary president. He was lost. He got saved. John Wesley came from England to America to preach to the Indians. He was an Anglican priest, but he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was religious. He even got in trouble when they was going to do the Lord's Supper because he came to Savannah, Georgia, and in those days, if you were going to have the Lord's Supper, you had to come and talk to the preacher, and he had to check you out and see if you was living okay. And so the mayor's wife came, and he said, well, you're not living right. I'm not going to let you take communion. And the mayor locked him up, put him in jail because he wouldn't let his wife take communion. But on the way back, Wesley began to see some Moravians, and some of their children died, and they buried them overboard. And the Moravian family, those parents, rejoiced because they knew where their child was going. It had an effect on Wesley. He couldn't understand it. He gets back to England. He goes to a Bible study, and they're studying the book of Romans, and the Bible says his heart was strangely warm and began to realize the truth about Jesus Christ. You can be educated, you can be religious, you can join every church in the world, but until our hearts are open to Jesus Christ, we'll never have him as our Savior. And so these people, because of unbelief, a person, they may know who Jesus is. They know he's a man, they know he walked the earth. Even secular people acknowledge there was a Jesus on the earth. But to know him as Savior, to open my heart to him, is what changes our life. And secondly, they lock the door of their heart because of unbelief. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them which don't believe. Those people haven't trusted Christ. It's like they got blinders on. They just can't see who Jesus is. Matthew 13:58 said, he did not many works in a village because of their unbelief. People didn't believe who Jesus was, the God in the flesh. He came to them, and they didn't believe him. And so the gospel comes with many, many arguments to convince those that are perishing. John, the Apostle John, in the last book of the book of John, wrote, he says, all these things were written that you might believe. What is he saying? You go back and read the book of John, it's a powerful book. It talks about Jesus, it talks about his childhood, it talks about what he did, it talks about the many, many, many miracles that Jesus did, it talks about the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. John says all those things, all those miracles were so people would believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Every miracle that Jesus did was pointing to the fact that he was God. Every miracle he did was pointing to the fact that to confirm his spoken word that Jesus was the Christ. And so people, because of unbelief, keep their doors shut and locked against Jesus. I say personally, my own life, one of the reasons I didn't get saved because I wasn't sure the Bible was the word of God. I struggled with it. I can remember praying, Lord, if this book is really your book, if it's really the word of God, I'll believe it. But I struggled trying to believe that this was really the word of God. But you know, when I opened my heart to Jesus and Jesus came in and changed my life, I had no problem believing in this book then. Because I realized it's written by Jesus Christ. There might be many authors, but God is the one behind this book. Someone has said, if you can believe Genesis 1:1, in beginning God, and God said, in other words, in the beginning, before there was anything, there was God. And God has spoken. If you can believe that, it's easy to begin to believe the rest of the word of God. Because in the beginning, there was God. There wasn't anything else. There wasn't the earth. There wasn't people. It was God. Where did God come from? I don't know. You have to be God to know that. I don't know where God came from, but in the beginning was God. So if you believe God's word that in the beginning, before there was anything, there was God. And he created earth. Who created all this? The Bible says Jesus spoke this. Jesus created all these things. It's created for his glory. So because of unbelief, people can't believe who Jesus is. They can't believe this is the Bible. They want to make this a history book or some book like that instead of the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews, this is a living word. This is the living book. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the asunder of the soul and the spirit. In other words, the word of God will cut us to the core, those who handle it, those who hear it, because it's a living book and it's the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe the gospel is. Because of ignorance, because people just didn't know, they didn't understand, they don't believe and they keep their heart shut and locked against Jesus. Because of unbelief. Now, that, when I say unbelief, I'm not saying you don't know who Jesus is or a person never heard who Jesus was, but they have not received him. They have not looked at him as God that spoke this world into existence. He has power over life. He has power over death. This is God knocking at the door. Jesus, the one who spoke this world into existence, comes and knocks on the door of our hearts and wants to gain entrance, and we just keep it locked. I kept it locked for 27 years. But boy, when it would open, I moved from the back row to the front row. And I'm not picking on y'all in the back row. I'm just saying I didn't want anybody interfering with me hearing the word of God. I didn't want anybody moving around disturbing me. I wanted to get out front so I could hear it. I wanted to get up close to the spout, as they'll say, you know, where the gospel comes out. I wanted to hear it close and firsthand because I was hungry. I figured I'd wasted 27 years of my life, and I wanted to catch up. And I wanted to study and learn as much as I possibly could. Had no idea God would call me into ministry. I just wanted to know Jesus and know more about him. Thirdly, the door shut and locked against Jesus because of pride. People are pride. Our hearts naturally are prideful hearts. We're prideful. And we don't want to bow down to anybody. That's the reason a lot of people will not acknowledge Jesus. They will not acknowledge God because they don't want to become accountable. Once you acknowledge there's a God, once you acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, you have to acknowledge there's sin. We have to acknowledge we're sinful people. And so to acknowledge that, then we're faced with something. Where am I going to spend eternity? We're all on our way somewhere. We're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, one or the other. There is no other place to go. Some groups think they're going to come back and live on the earth for a long time. The Bible says the earth's going to be burned up, melt with a fervent heat. Where are they going to be? That's the reason they said there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. Because this one, we know it, ain't going to be the same. It's going to be burned up, according to Peter. And so Romans 10:13 said, people being ignorant of God's righteousness went about to establish their own righteousness. That's reading even today. People still trying to hope my good works outweigh my bad works and God will let me into heaven. You establish your own righteousness. I'm not that bad. You try to talk to somebody about being a sinner, they don't want to hear it. We talked about that in Sunday school. People just don't want to hear that kind of thing. I told you the story. I witnessed this lady. She lived down the street from us. She started attending our church when I was in Albany. And everything I would ask her about sin, she said, no, I've never sinned. I've never committed sin. You never lied? No, I never lied. I thought, you just did right then when you told me that. But, you know, but everything I would ask her, I said, you got to get people lost before you can get them saved. If they don't believe they're lost and need a Savior, they don't need Jesus if they don't believe they're lost. It took me about an hour and a half of convincing her of me and Lee talking to her and witnessing to her until she finally opened her heart, trusted Christ, joined the church, got baptized, began to be faithful in church. But it was hard. That's the first one I ever ran across that just, no, I've not committed sin. I've never done anything wrong. You never took a pencil in your life. You never stole anybody's candy bar. You never, no. I thought, this is going to be a tough one. But she finally realized that she was not as perfect as Jesus Christ. See, we make the mistake. We compare ourselves to each other all the time. And because we're doing that, so I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and I'm better than this. So if this person's going to heaven, surely I'm going to heaven. We're comparing ourselves to the wrong standard. We have to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we all fall short of the glory of God. Because of unbelief, because of pride. And then fourth, because of love of sin. You know, people like to sin. People enjoy sin. If they didn't enjoy it, they wouldn't do it, right? If it didn't feel good, didn't make them feel better, they wouldn't do it. The book of Romans, Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, you know, there's pleasure in sin. Anybody says it's not pleasure in sin, it's not telling you the truth. But he says it's seasonal. That means it's temporary. That means there's going to be a payday someday. That means this old sin's going to turn into something you don't like. There's a song that says, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will get a hold of a person's life and put them into bondage and make slaves out of them. So they don't want to open the door of their heart to Jesus because they like sin. And I've witnessed the people over the years, and I knew how they were living, and they knew I knew how they were living, and they didn't want to come to Christ. They said, if I come to Christ, I got to change. Or they say, if I come to Christ, I can't live the Christian life. And I say, well, absolutely you can't live the Christian life. It's impossible for you to live the Christian life on your own. Until you open your heart, until Jesus comes in, the power of the Holy Spirit comes in your life, the Holy Spirit begins to help you lead the Christian life. You can't live it just because you're religious. Just because you quit doing something don't make you religious. You got to trust Christ, and Christ begins to work in you. That's the reason, honestly, as I said this morning, I pray often when I get up here, Lord, I want to be like John the Baptist. I just want to be like, John was like a microphone. He was just saying what God was laying on his heart. He was acknowledging Jesus. He wasn't the message. Jesus was the message. I'm not the message. No preacher's the message. We're just like microphones. We take the word of God and we proclaim the word of God so people can hear it. It's Jesus is the message, not us. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can an Ethiopian change his color or a leper change his spots? No. Leper can't get rid of his spots. He's made that way. Neither can a man stop sinning on his own. You can't get victory by yourself. Oh, you can be better than some folks and better than others, but we all fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus has the power to give us victory over sin in our life. He defeated death and sin on the cross. He is our advocate. He's on the right hand of the Father making intercessions for every child of God because we've opened our heart to him. You know, every time a person repeats a sin, it's like a habit and becomes stronger. And the more we do that, it becomes stronger and stronger. It's the harder it is to get victory over it. It's kind of like, you know, a little baby. When a little baby tries to walk, you watch them. They'll fall down. They'll sit down. They'll stumble. They'll fall. But they keep going. And they get a little stronger and a little stronger. Pretty soon, they're walking. After a while, they're running. Why? Because they kept doing the same thing over and over. That's the way sin is in a negative way. Every time we repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, it gets stronger in our lives. It takes Christ to break the power of sin in our lives. We can't do it on our own. We have to have, sweet, I love victory in Jesus. Boy, that song, victory in Jesus. We've got victory in Jesus to overcome sin, overcome ourselves, overcome the world. Jesus breaks the power of sin. And lastly, because people are presumptuous. You know, they go about, they shut the door of their heart because of ignorance. They just don't understand who Jesus is. Because of their unbelief, because of their pride, because of their love of sin, and lastly, because they're presumptuous. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said to this church, he said, you say that you are rich and don't need anything. They presume that they don't need anything. But he says, yet you're poor, blind, and naked. You can't see. You need some eye salve to anoint your eyes so you can see the truth about your own condition and your own state. So they presume they don't need anything. They presume or they hope they won't perish. their good works might get them into heaven. They presume that God will grant them mercy on the day of judgment, but he will not unless your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way it gets in the Lamb's Book of Life is when a person opens the door of their hearts and invite Jesus to come in, and then God will grant us mercy. They presume that God will think, okay. It's a personal story. I had several aunts, my mother's sister, and one of them, her name was Darlene, and she always liked to drink a little, and she kind of liked to party. She was always funny. People liked her, and she wasn't really a bad person, you would say, humanly speaking. But she got breast cancer, and she had a terrible operation. And at times, she was in pain, and that just kind of gave her the excuse to drink a little more. And so she'd just kill the pain. And so some nights, she knew I was a preacher, and so she really loved me, and I loved her. And so she'd call me up 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, wake me up, want to talk. And she'd say, I knew she was drinking. I knew she was high as a kite. And she would say, well, John, you know God understands. I said, no, Aunt Darlene, God don't understand. He'd give you the victory over that if you'd let him. Just because you've had cancer don't give you a license to get drunk and sin and do those kind of things. I talked to her many times about it. As far as I know, she never got victory over those things in her life. She knew who Jesus was. But she struggled with that because she wouldn't turn it over to Jesus Christ. She said, gotta just understand. God understands that we're all sinners. And I'm not saying one sin is worse than another sin. Any sin will keep us out of heaven unless it's under the blood of the Lamb. And am I not just picking on one thing? And so people will perish while God is knocking on the door when they keep the door closed. One day the Savior will close the door to people. That's what people don't realize. There's a time limit on our life. God speaks to our heart, speaks to our heart. Jesus knocks on the door. Jesus, God, spoke the world as this, knocking on people's door. Can you imagine that? You ever went to a door and knocked on the door and people didn't open the door for you? I've been on visitation. I knew people's home, and I knock on the door, and they look out and say, oh, there's a preacher. They didn't want to talk about the Lord. They wouldn't open the door. People know Jesus convicts. He knocks on the door. They know somebody's knocking on the door. They know they're being convicted, and they won't open the door. And one day, Jesus said, fine, I'm going to shut the door. You can't open it. You know why I know that? Because when Noah built the ark, and he got the ark built, and all the animals got on the ark, Noah did not shut the door to the ark. The Bible says God shut the door and condemned the world. And when God shut the door, nobody could open that door. And God speaks to a person and speaks to a person and speaks to a person. The Bible says those who often are reproved have hardened their head, hardened their neck. The Jewish thing, when you harden your neck, you're saying no to people and you're stubborn. He said, those who often harden their neck will be cut off and without remedy. In other words, there won't be any grace. There won't be no extra chance because they've had chance after chance after chance after chance. When God shut the door, he condemned the world. One day, Jesus will shut the door and said, you said no? Okay. The door is so strongly shut that angels can't open the door. An angel's knocked down the walls of Jericho, but they can't knock down a person's heart. They don't have the power to open a person's heart. An angel doesn't. The Ten Commandments that teaches us about law and sin is not powerful enough to open a person's heart. Grace will not always open a person's heart. And I'll tell you why. People sit year after year, time after time, churches all across the world. They hear sermons about the love of God. They hear sermons about how God saves them and loves them. And they go home still lost. They don't open their hearts. Even the judgment of God, the impending judgment of God that people may know is coming, will not necessarily open a person's heart. God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh. And they warned Pharaoh. Said, let my people go. And they warned him. Said, things are going to happen if you don't. And what happened? Every time a judgment would come, a plague would come, Pharaoh just got more angry with God. He got more stubborn with God. Those harsh things did not make him open his heart and get tender toward God. He rebelled. That's when people say, well, I can't believe God would do that. If God really loved people, he wouldn't do all those kind of things. Well, I've said many times we're blaming the wrong one. We ought to be blaming Satan for all this stuff goes on in the world instead of God. But God's kind of an easy target, isn't he? Here's the state of a lost person. Jesus is shut out, and the influence of Satan is shut in. Until the door is open, this has to be opened by you. I was thinking about it as I was driving over this morning. It takes a person to open their heart to Jesus. But I tell you something that helps open that door. It's the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. Because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Without faith, you can't get saved. Without faith, you won't believe in Jesus. So the Bible is so powerful that it has a propensity to open a person's heart because they hear the Word of God and hear the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit came into the world to convict the world of sin. Through the Bible and the Holy Spirit, it begins to work on that door and push against that closed door till a person can open the door and invite Jesus in. Until the door is opened by a person, Jesus stands without. Eternity and eternal life in heaven is unavailable to a person to open the door. And so, ignorance and unbelief and pride and sin and presumption, all those things will cause a person to perish. Jesus forever shut out of a person's life. Heaven and the pearly gates were closed. They're closed to a person that won't open their heart to Jesus. Hope to see loved ones that's gone on before is closed to a person that won't open their heart and won't open their door to Jesus. The tree of life, the streets of gold, the water of life, a home in heaven, answers to prayer, inheritance with Jesus Christ and indwelling the Holy Spirit, all those things are closed to a person until they open the door. But here's the good thing. Jesus is still knocking. The Holy Spirit's still working. Jesus came in the world to seek and to save lost people. That's what he came for. He loves us. He came knowing he was going to go to the cross because he loved us. He wants us to have eternal life. He wants us to have walk the streets of gold, to walk in the sunshine of his love. He wants to have fellowship with us. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I'm opening the door of my heart to you. And it's hard. It's hard because we have to come to a place we realize we need a Savior. We have to come to a place, realize this condition. I mean, I'm lost and undone, and I'm shutting the door to the one who can give me eternal life. And so we have to open that door. We have to get rid of pride, get rid of unbelief, invite the Lord Jesus to come in, and he will give us eternal life. Father, I realize this morning I'm preaching to the church, but Lord, you lay this message on my heart. And Lord, even if it's not for us, maybe it's for some of our loved ones, some of our relatives, some of our neighbors, some of our coworkers. That Lord, their hearts are hardened at times for many different reasons. But Lord, we know what can open that door is the Word of God. And so Lord, help us to know your Word, help us to quote your Word, help us to live your Word, to be living epistles, that people can see the Word of God and that Jesus Christ has changed our lives. And so with our heads bowed this morning, eyes closed, I pray for somebody here who's never ever really opened their heart to you. They may be a member. They may think up to this point they're a Christian, but they really have never come to a place to open their heart. Lord, help them to do it this morning. Help them, Lord, that pride will not hold them back. Pride will not keep them out of heaven and a relationship with Jesus. And Lord, help us to know the Word well enough that we have a concern and a care for those around us, to share the Word of God. And Lord, with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I just pray you would put somebody on our heart right now, somebody we know or feel like that needs to come to Christ. Lord, just put that person on our hearts. And then, Lord, help us this coming week that you would give us an opportunity to open a door that we might share the truth of Jesus Christ and share the truth about salvation and eternity. Lord, we want our loved ones, our friends, to go to heaven. But Lord, we get so busy sometimes we just go through the motions. And we pass an opportunity. And we say, well, next week or next month, I'll be bold enough to do it. Lord, help us now. Help us to see that person. Help us to see that person perishing without Christ because they didn't open their hearts. Help us, Lord, but use us as an instrument, a word, a microphone, to share the truth of your Word in Jesus' name. Amen.